Hello, welcome, and hi!
Hello!
Hi! It's the Bitter End Podcast wrap-up of Season 1 with me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan.
Yes, we've watched all of the Friday the 13th movies.
All of them! To date.
12 films. My God, never in human history has a more grueling endeavour been undertaken. And here we are now to talk about it all as a whole and beyond the films.
My goodness. Thank you for coming on this ride with us, guys.
Yeah, and what a ride it's been. If you've been watching along at home, then thanks for watching. I hope you've enjoyed and been infuriated by these films as much as we have. If you haven't, that's cool. That's what we're here for.
You've saved yourselves a lot of pain.
Yeah, exactly. But
It's not all about pain, though.
It's not all about pain. I have to say, I've enjoyed these films a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I've changed a lot as a horror fan from watching... Before we started, I'd only seen the first one. And I classed myself as a horror fan. I did not know what I was talking about before. Mm. Now I feel like I've really had my eyes opened. Tom, how about you? Because you, when you and I first started this project,
yeah.
part of the appeal of us working together is that I was traditionally a horror guy.
Yeah.
You traditionally were more of a kind of a big budget action guy.
Yeah. So we're coming at this from different angles. I mean, you know, I've seen some horror flicks, but it's not my it's not my wheelhouse.
I'm curious as to how your opinion of the genre has changed.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of... I think if you think of, like, the slasher genre, you're thinking about this franchise.
You just are, aren't
really.
You?
Like, it kind of does it all. And it is a weird one, because I thought about this a lot, because this series, it goes on for... It's 12 movies, man. And that is a lot of movies for any film franchise. The only ones that I can think of off the top of my head that have got more movies is Godzilla.
Yeah.
James Bond... And The Land Before Time.
How many Land Before Times are
there? This is like 13 or 14 of those.
Oh my God.
That's a lot, buddy. But there's also a lot of Friday the 13th films. You think of a franchise, you think it's got a lot of films. This guy's probably got more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you kind of, we've watched these films and it's like, why? Why has this... stood the test of time, but why has it got such staying power?
It's such a simple formula.
Very simple formula. And the thing that I find weird is, like, so Jason, yeah? Jason Voorhees. He is an iconic horror character. You show that hockey mask, you show that photo of him, people will recognize, maybe they might say, oh, is that from, like, Halloween? But they know that he is this horror character.
Yeah, yeah.
In much the same way as, like, say, like Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers. But why has he had so many more films than them when actually, as a character, Jason is very much a non-entity? He is a plot device
that
wanders around and kills everybody.
I mean, we will get into this in detail, but I wonder if his success is that he is a blank slate.
Yeah, I think that part of his power... is that lack of character.
Yeah, you stare into the abyss stares right back, and Jason is an abyss.
Yeah, yeah, and he just keeps on going and going, and because he's such a blank slate, it's meant that people can do... That's how you get things like Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah.
Jason X. Like, you can do weird stuff with this guy, because there's not a lot to him, but maybe that is his strength. I don't know.
The dude's strength is his
physical strength to punch someone's heart out.
No, I mean, I suppose I've talked a little bit on previous episodes about whether or not I thought Jason was brought too far into the light.
Yeah. You know,
but I suppose the thing with him is that even if you shine a bright light on him, doesn't reveal that much.
Yeah,
so he's perpetually in shadow.
Yeah, like some of the later films have gotten a bit more silly, but I mean, I can't say in all certainty because I haven't seen these films, but the impression I get is that, like, later Child's Play films or Nightmare on Elm Street films, those characters that are very, like, dark, wisecracking characters to begin with lean more heavily on the comedy later on. And you can't do that as much with Jason. He can't be like, derp, Because he doesn't say anything. He just stands there and gives you a real mean, gives you the stink eye.
I guess,
and then
he
stabs you.
If he was going to be a cartoon character, he'd be Wile E. Coyote, but like that's the closest you're going to get.
Yeah, he's never like pulled out a sign that says, uh-oh,
no,
and then fallen off of a cliff.
He's definitely come close in a couple of movies, I think.
Pretty close. But yeah, that's kind of...
Yeah.
It is a weird one. Like, it's kind of like... Why this series more than any, but then also, like, why not? Like,
yeah.
I don't know why not. It's a funny one.
Well, let's get a bit more methodical with this, because,
yeah,
you know, we've got a lot that we need to rattle through. We've mm-hmm. ordered pizza. We need to get this done.
Oh, yeah, we've got to
keep
before the pizza gets here.
I'm starving.
Gotta celebrate.
We ordered ourselves the Jason special.
Mm-hmm.
Pepperoni pizza with the little round bits of pepperoni arranged in the shape of the holes in hockey masks.
Yeah, yummy.
It's coming. Okay, so Tom, my first thought about the films as a whole, I mean, we've already done a bit of the lore here, but the other day I was just at home and I was like, oh, I need to watch a film, like not for a podcast or anything, just for fun. I think this was a couple of weeks ago, so this was probably shortly before we watched Freddy vs. Jason.
Yeah.
I was like, what film am I going to watch tonight? I really wanted to just rewatch the original Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not done. I'm not done with this franchise.
I mean, I felt after having watched this many films that I kind of felt like I needed to go back to the first one just to refresh myself on how this all started. Because I don't know if you, the listeners at home, have been watching along, feel this as well, but like, after a while, you just can't really remember, like, exactly. You kind of know what happened, but, like, you know, the feel, the tone of those original films kind of vanishes. And then, basically, I just keep on now going back to Jason Lives, because I think that is then, like, one of the stronger films.
Yeah.
And I just kind of go back. And that is, I think... that is quintessential latter Jason, zombie Jason. That's tip top.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So I would go back to that. But I would definitely watch some of these again. I'd watch Jason Lives. I'd watch the first one. I'd watch like 3.
Anything except 5, really.
Actually, anything except 5. Yeah. Yeah. Like 7's not so high on the list. Jason Goes to Hell isn't so high on the list. Manhattan? I'd watch Manhattan again.
Oh, yeah. That was a rock. Yeah. I mean, which one do you think was... Do you have a favourite? One film? You're picking one film.
I don't know, man. Personally, I think it's either 3D or Jason Lives.
Yeah.
Those are some good ones.
I wonder if that's to do with... This is getting a bit inside baseball, but we had a lot of fun those days. You know, one of those was Christmas Eve when we were one of those was like quite early on in the podcast. We were like, we just put, I think, our first real episode live when we watched part 3.
And we were jubilant. We were
bouncy. We were just like having a grand old time.
I think also like those ones kind of stand out from the pack.
They do.
I think in that they do. I mean, 3 only kind of stands out from the pack because of the 3D effect, but it's so funny.
Yes.
And also it's the birth of the iconic hockey mask.
Mm-hmm.
And then part 6 is just, that is such a return to form.
Yeah.
And it's that is the birth, again, like the birth of a different kind of Jason.
I wonder if we would have liked it so much if it wasn't for how bad the previous film was.
You gotta go low to rise back up. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking, like, you know, talking about like the hockey mask and stuff like that. Just thinking back about it, like, I think obviously we were around, but we were like wee nippers when these films first came out. But I think that, like, I think the legacy of that image, not necessarily like Jason as a horror character, but just the visual look, I think that pops up a lot in popular culture. And so I don't think you... Like, more so than, like, Freddy Krueger or Michael Myers or anyone like that. So, like...
It's easier to replicate somehow.
It's easier to replicate. And that's the genius of, like, Jason in the mask, is it's so instantly identifiable. And, like, I was just, like, thinking of, like, examples of where I've seen that done. National Lampoon's Family Christmas. Chevy Chase walks out of the garage with the ice hockey mask and a chainsaw. Similarly, in the Simpsons Camp Lake Fear episode?
The Cape Fear parody.
Yeah, the Cape Fear parody, where Homer's like, Bart, do you want to see my new chainsaw and hockey mask? You got that.
Always paired with a chainsaw.
Always paired with a chainsaw when he's never used a chainsaw.
Do you think
I think that's a cross-pollination with...
Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, he has a weed whacker in one of them, like in Seven, but it's not very good. And then just stuff like, it's like Eminem, like he did like a whole album tour and like he had this whole image of being like a dude in like a dungarees and an ice hockey mask. He would come out on stage with a chainsaw, like Ghostface Killer, another rapper.
Yeah.
He's done in that. And then I keep on bringing them up, Ninja Turtles in the 80s, after the events of Part 3, brought out the very popular character Casey Jones to the series, who's like the vigilante who's wearing an ice hockey mask. And you've got to think, like, if these films hadn't have existed, would people go, would that visual be something that everyone would go for?
Well, I have a theory about this, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Would you care to hear it?
I want
to
hear it.
Okay, so I listened to another podcast.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I'm really sorry, podcast world. I can't remember what podcast it was. But it was about the formation of Anonymous.
Oh, yeah.
The hacking group. And it was how they arrived at that look.
The V for Vendetta.
The mask. The V for Vendetta mask.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get a lot of facts wrong. If I do get some of my facts wrong, Anonymous, please leave me alone. I mean,
yeah,
well,
don't hack Todd, yeah, please.
I'm remembering a podcast I heard about a year ago. But the way there was a vote on what they were going to use for their, mm-hmm, for their look. And I think there was a thing about like people holding up like Wile E. Coyote style signs with question marks over their faces.
Okay.
But that was deemed to be, you want to always be able to have a hand free. You don't want to have to hold, yeah, a thing over your face. The reason they arrived at the Guy Fawkes mask,
yeah,
the V for Vendetta Guy Fawkes mask, is because it was one of the biggest selling Halloween masks in the world, globally.
Really?
So the point was, wherever you were, if
you
wanted
it
to be an Anonymous supporter, or if you wanted to take part, you could get one of those masks very, very easily.
Yeah.
Just go to any like high street, any big shopping center and get one and be a part of it. And the thing with Jason's look that Freddy Krueger doesn't have is accessibility.
It's very easy to do.
You
that
can
look.
Get a hockey mask anywhere. You,
yeah,
can get dungarees anywhere.
Yeah. Late on Halloween, you can sort yourself out. That's
yeah,
a good lazy
it's
boy's
a lazy
costume.
But with big effect.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
totally. Because it's terrifying. Yeah, it's frightening.
It's so
and
terrifying.
It's, and it's instantly recognisable to so many people who have never seen the films.
Yeah. So that's yeah, maybe part of the formula for success, I think.
Yeah. Now, we've watched a lot of these films.
We have, over a few months.
Yeah, and I have to say, and I think you said as well, these have made an impact on us people because we have both individually, not in a weird joint way, had our own separate Jason Voorhees dreams.
Yeah, yeah. Not like freaky childhood nightmares, but the dude is showing up in my dreams,
yeah,
where I don't want him to.
I had a dream where I can only imagine I was in the wilderness or like I was out lost somewhere and Jason loomed up upon me and went to do the old diagonal machete across the face. And then I woke up, I got up, you know, went to the bathroom, came back to bed, and I was just looking around in the shadows. So I'm, you know, not ashamed to admit, I was a little bit shaken up. I was just kind of like, is he there?
Oh, poor little Tommy.
Yeah.
Can you remember what the last film we'd watched before you had that dream was?
I think this was about halfway through, maybe like 6 or 7.
Right, yeah, okay. So
we were
Jason
halfway
lives,
through.
Yeah,
he was weighing, right. he'd been taking up, you know,
yeah,
quite permanent residence in my cranium at that point.
I've had a Jason dream, but it wasn't a scare. Well, it was a frustrating one. In my dream, Tom and I, you and me were doing a podcast. And
spooky.
It was a bit close to like that dream that you have where you like accidentally turn up to school without any of your bag or anything like that. We were doing the podcast. We just finished the film. And you're like, right, are you ready to record the podcast? What did you think of the film? And I couldn't remember anything about the film. Reached my notebook and it was under my tick list of kills. There were just none. There just hadn't been any kills in the film. And I was like,
what a nightmare.
What am I supposed to talk about? He didn't kill anybody in the film. That was my nightmare.
That is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Hellish. Truly hellish.
Woke up screaming.
I bet you did.
No!
Oh, mate. Anyway.
We should maybe, before Mr. Pizza Man gets here, we should probably spread out into some of the non-cinematic
incarnations.
Areas.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you want to talk about...
Well, yeah. I've done a bit of... I went over to our mutual friend Miles's house as you were there.
Big up, Miles.
You were there too at a separate time. Big shout out to our buddy Miles, who has an enormous collection of retro video games. And especially for us, we both got to have a go at the Friday the 13th 1989 video game for the original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
Now
that is a real nightmare.
This game is not popular.
No, I mean, like, was it Angry Video Game Nerd did a quite famous like video of that, and like playing it. Oh, it is a chore. You don't know what it just drops you in without telling you what's going on.
It is quite. It's so the idea of the game. It's bold that it is a Friday the 13th video game for the Nintendo at a time where, like, video gaming had not gone mainstream. There were no grown-ups playing video games, really.
Yeah, but then I think that these kind of films have always been marketed also to the playground.
Yeah.
Because you just got to look at, like, say, like, Rambo and, like, RoboCop. They all had Saturday morning cartoons, which can only be based off the fact that, like, people who are not meant to be seeing these films are seeing these films and they really want to see them.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, I guess that's where it comes from. I mean, even in the game, Jason doesn't look anything like he does in the films. He's got green skin.
He's purple.
And a purple boiler suit.
Yeah. It is a nightmare navigating around that game. Yeah. You had to keep on pausing the game to look at the map of Crystal Lake. Because you play a series of counsellors. Your lives are all different counsellors. You're running around Crystal Lake. If you go into the forest... Fuck me, you cannot find your way out because there's no map for that. And the way that the map looks, that you can be, I'm going right. So I assume I'm going right. But if you go right long enough, you're actually going left if you turn around a corner. So you're just spending your whole time pausing the game to be like, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? And that's not fun.
No, it's not fun. And the idea is that you've got this really frustrating map that's driven Tom to distraction with all of the cabins sort of laid out on it. And as you go around, eventually you'll get this little kind of ding go, ding, 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 ding. And that means that Jason is in one of the cabins murdering children.
Which is wrong, because Jason never killed the kids.
He never does. That is his only real rule.
Mm.
And once that starts happening, you get this number at the top, which is just this number that says, kids, 60. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess I've got 60 seconds to go and get the kids. And then you're like running around and the number's not going down, that's fine. And then you hear like this little kind of noise.
Mm.
And then, oh, 59 kids. 58.
Uh-oh.
Long pause. 57, 56, 55. Oh my God, Jason is murdering these children.
Reaping children.
Yeah,
at a rate
of just
knots.
Like really cutting up, like slamming them through them like a wheat field. And you have to get to the cabin
and fight Jason.
Fight Jason. And when you do, it's like
he just kills you.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, he punches you once and you die.
Yeah. And then if you are so unlucky as to go into a cave, don't you fight like Pamela Voorhees' floating head that shoots fireballs at you?
I am not gamer enough to have gotten this far, but like
it
apparently
is.
If you make your way deep enough into the cave, Pamela Voorhees' reanimated head is there. I don't remember this from... Which one of the films was this in?
Not
where her
canon,
head comes
I don't
to
think.
Life and floats and spits fire.
Yeah, but also this game came out in 89. So can you remember, like, did a film even come out that year?
Yep.
What film was out then?
Takes Manhattan.
It's weird. that's weird timing.
And the other video game reference that I wanted to talk about was the classic arcade game, which I'm only vaguely aware of, Splatterhouse. I don't know if you ever saw posters for that.
No.
It was a game where you, the hero, are a man in a boiler suit with a hockey mask.
Oh, okay.
Carving your way through a haunted house where there's all of these like zombies and really like meaty monsters.
Oh, yeah.
And the game's gimmick was just that it was really bloody. But
yeah.
You are the hero and you're a man in a hockey mask with a chainsaw.
When did this come out?
Again, late 80s probably.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
Splatterhouse.
He's now like, because Jason's now like a DLC for like one of the new Mortal Kombat games.
Mortal Kombat X, I think.
Yeah.
And obviously we would also be remiss if we didn't talk about the kickstarted Friday the 13th, the game, which as we record right now, what are we, February 2016? Mm. So please excuse us, as we're recording right now, the game isn't out yet. So apologies if it didn't end up coming out, or if it's came out and you've all heard of it already. But this is a multiplayer game where as you log into play, it will randomly select. You'll either be a camp counselor or Jason. You'll only ever play against real people. Mm. So it will link you up with, say, five other people. You know, five of you will be counselors. One of you is Jason.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And with Jason, you can be either Baghead or Hockey Mask.
Yeah.
And you're purely, if you're Jason, you're trying to hunt the counselors down. If you're the counselors, you just have to survive. From what I understand, you can't actually defeat Jason. You just have to survive.
Oh, wow.
And the way that you do that is you can lay traps or...
Just try and slow him down, I guess. Yeah.
Slow him down. Or there are things you can do like take the boat out, piss off into the middle of the lake, wait it out.
Amazing.
And basically throw your other counsellors under the bus.
Yeah, oh wow.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited to play it. Particularly because Kane Hodder is doing the motion capture for Jason in the game.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so I'm very, very excited about that when that comes out.
Cool. Gaming, good gaming proposition there.
Tom, did you want to talk about the visual printed medium?
I would. So... Friday the 13th has spun off a lot in the way of comic books and also novels, surprisingly. So, let's talk about the books first.
Let's book up.
Todd, how many Friday the 13th novels do you think there are?
Well, I think it would be stupid to assume that every film had its own novel, because I don't want to read the novelization of Jason X, for example. So I'm going to say... Three novels?
20.
20 novels?
There are 20 novels.
Get out of town!
I'm going to run them down in kind of what they're... So there are 7 novelizations of the films.
Which films?
One of them is Jason X.
What? No!
One of them is Freddy versus Jason.
Okay.
Part 1. Part 2.
What?
4, I believe. Jason Lives. So we don't get, like, Manhattan. You don't get The New Bloods. You don't get Part 5. I'll tell you what you do get. Part 3, twice.
It's 3D. You have to read each one with each eye.
Yeah, and it's by 2 different authors. One of them came out the year of release, and one of them came out in, like, 1989, after the film had been out for at least, like, 5 years.
One with a red cover, one with a green cover.
It's... maddening. I mean
that's insane.
I've not been able to do loads of research. I wanted to just try and find like a PDF or something that I could have a bit of a look, but I haven't been able to find them. And some of these books are actually quite expensive if you want to get them on eBay.
Yeah, I bet.
They go, because like some novelizations aren't worth the paper they're printed on, but these ones, there's a lot. So that's like 7 novelizations. We've then got 4 in the Camp Crystal Lake series, which are new Jason stories that were done in the 90s.
Wow.
Then there are 4 more Jason X spin-offs.
What? Spin-offs?
Yeah. And then there are 5 in a noughties series, just like called the Friday the 13th series.
Okay, this sounds so generic.
Yeah. And then comic book-wise.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like, there's a few like comic book versions of some of the films, like Jason Goes to Hell, stuff like that. As we mentioned before, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. There's 2 of those.
Yeah.
Wasn't
there a comic that tied Jason Takes Manhattan to Jason Goes to Hell?
I think that might have been Jason Goes to Hell, but I've been trying to find...
Okay.
I've been trying to find these things, and they're quite hard to find. I haven't been able to find versions I could read online. And also, I think because there's a lot of issues with, like... Because it's a franchise, licensing and stuff like that, that you can't really find necessarily... compendium versions
of all of these.
So that's a bit of a pain, but I kind of had a bit of a look and I scanned through some of the books and some of the comics to find out what are the stories that maybe are more of note.
Okay,
they might be terrible, but you might want to go and check them out. So from the comic books, we've got Jason versus Jason X.
What? So is that like regular... like
Regs Jace.
Hockey Mask.
Yeah, versus Robo Jace. So
Robo Jace is going to win, isn't he?
It takes place after the events of Jason X,
on Earth 2?
No, apparently Jason X is still on a spaceship. He hasn't gotten to Earth 2 yet, so there's a little bit of a retcon.
Okay.
And then the nano ants find what is left of Jason. Apparently, you know when the nano ants regenerate Jason?
Of course I know that.
Apparently,
yeah, of course.
Jason's head, or part of Jason's head, was somewhere off on another corner of the room, and the nano ants find that, and then they rebuild Jason, but not as another Jason X, another Uber Jason. They rebuild him as regular Jason, and then they eventually start fighting and then crash onto Earth 2. And I think it's meant to be this whole thing where they've both got like half of Jason's memories because they're both half of the same
coin.
And basically, I think at the end, Jason, like Uber Jason, rips Jason's head in half, pulls out what's left of his brain and sticks it in his brain so that he gets all of his memories back.
And I'm then a real boy!
Yeah! So that one's probably not great.
No. Oh my God.
Yeah, so that's another one. So number two that I think might be quite interesting, don't take my word for it, I'm just going on synopsis here. Friday the 13th comic, How I Spent My Summer Vacation. So in this one, we're on Crystal Lake, and we've got a young boy who's at camp on the lake, and he has got like a deformity very akin to Jason.
Poor little guy.
And he's being bullied by everybody. And then, from what I can gather, there's like a meth head sheriff who then just starts killing counsellors because he's on so much meth. And then Jason Voorhees protects the little boy because he reminds him of him. So it's like Jason as the hero, like protecting this little boy that he sees something of him in.
Whoa.
I mean, so that's a different spin.
I mean, it's different, yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, and it's something that we talked about when we were talked about like Coco Feldman showing up.
Yeah,
we were
yeah.
like, oh, imagine if he makes friends with the little boy. It happens in a comic. and now,
oh my God.
My final, yeah. like,
is this gold medal or bronze?
I'm going to say it's gold medal because I think you're going to appreciate this.
Okay.
It's a book. It's from the 2000s series. What's it called? It's called it's Friday the 13th, Hell Lake.
Ooh, that does sound up my street.
Okay. A serial killer
yeah.
gets executed.
Of course.
And he hopes that he's going to meet his hero, Jason Voorhees, in hell.
I'm listening.
He meets his hero, Jason Voorhees, in hell. And then he finds out there's a way to escape hell. And he's like, Jason, you got to come with me. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to assemble an army of evil people from hell. And we're going back to Crystal Lake.
You had my curiosity. Now you have my attention.
And that's all I know.
Oh my God.
So I'm going
to... I have to read that, right?
So, yeah, they dive into some different tangents, I think. From what I'm gathering, like, they dive into a lot of the different tangents I think we kind of wish that we got in the films.
Well, because that, for example, like that amazing sounding book would be very expensive to film, probably.
Yeah.
So it's also much easier to just slam out a book.
And a bit unwieldy. And I think the whole thing about the movies is that they need to be instantly viewable to people who just want to go and watch, you know, munch and some popcorn for 90
yeah,
minutes
yeah, yeah.
and haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
I think that's why they don't build on the lore too much and go too crazy, because they still are trying to keep this instantly accessibleness mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. the movies. Whereas in like comics and books and stuff like that, they can go freewheeling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mate, that's fascinating.
Yeah, there you go.
We should start Friday the 13th book club.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, mate. Just you and me.
So one little bit of homework that we did, listeners at home, or wherever you are, if you're in someone else's home possibly, then you should...
Stop! Put down another person's things!
Yeah! Quick, get out! Is that we both came up with our own ideas for sequels.
Yes,
Friday the 13th
we did.
Sequels that we would like to see. Tom, can I tell you about my Friday
the
13th sequel?
Please do!
And then, because I would love to hear about yours
yeah.
afterwards. Okay, so I've placed mine very specifically in time.
Yeah.
My Friday the 13th sequel is... I'm cheating it a bit because I want it to be released in 1987.
Okay.
Which is a year where we didn't get Friday the 13th.
Okay.
My film yeah. is called Man Friday the 13th. And it is a Robinson Crusoe It's a Robinson Crusoe thing with a twist.
Okay.
With a twist.
I wonder what it could be.
So picture this, Tom. There is a very, very glamorous female rock star. She's a metal singer. Her name is Sally Ann Murderglam.
Yeah.
Right. And her band and her road crew are taking a private jet from New York to Tokyo to play a sold-out show at the Tokyo Bowl. That's a venue I just made up.
Okay.
Sounds real, doesn't it?
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah. I'm believing you.
Yeah, Sally Ann Murderglam.
Yeah.
So she's, while she's flying, she's left New York, she's going all right, she's on her way to Tokyo. Oh no, they fly into an electrical storm. The plane goes down and it crashes into Crystal Lake.
Amazing.
Okay, the propeller...
They didn't get very far from New York at all.
No, they didn't. The pilot was drunk or something.
They may have even been heading in the wrong direction. Yeah. Who knows?
The propeller comes off the plane.
Yeah.
And it slices through the chain that is holding Jason in the bottom of the lake.
Nice, yeah. Don't
worry, he's going to get back there because I know he starts there again. Meanwhile, Sally Ann Murderglam, the glamorous metal singer, and various members of her road crew and band all wash up on an island in the very centre of Crystal Lake that we've never seen before.
Ooh, okay.
Now, the lake, which in other films has been known to shrink and
grow.
Turns out in this film, it's a lot bigger than you thought
it was. It's real big.
Yeah, it's just big enough that they can't possibly signal anyone on the mainland. Now, Sally Ann Murderglam, she can't swim. Never learned how. Too busy learning how to rock out on the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
Only one member of her road crew can swim, but he's broken both his legs.
What are they going to do?
Yeah, they're stuck there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jason's loose. He's been loosened by the chain, right?
Yeah.
He turns up on the desert island. It's very hot there. It's deserty.
Yeah.
To be Man Friday the 13th, Robinson Crusoe style, he falls in love with Sally Ann Murderglam.
Oh, my God.
There's something about her deathly makeup and sort of glamour. Bride of Jason. And he sets it upon himself to one by one nobble off all of the members of her band and road crew. While they're trying to work out how to escape the island, he kills them all one by one, sneaking through like the palm trees, through the cave system of the rocks, because he wants to make Sally Ann Murderglam his bride.
I like it.
Now, he partly succeeds.
Yeah.
He kills everybody else. Sally Ann can't swim. Jason wants to take her to meet his mum.
Oh, that's going to be an awkward dinner.
Yeah, the severed head on the mainland in the shack. So he picks up Sally Ann and he... Because Jason, he's dead already, he can walk under the water. He drags her under the water with him, not realising that he's going to kill her. She's struggling. She can't overpower him. Sally Ann's struggling away. Jason looks at her, sees the pain and horror in her face and decides, there's this one moment of humanity. He's like, this is bad. I shouldn't be doing this. He lets her go. But... As she's swimming away, she notices that one of the flight cases from the aeroplane is at the bottom of the lake, and it's the big S&M set from the gig they were going to do in Tokyo. Loads of chains.
Yeah.
She really quickly chains Jason back up. Big wave comes, washes her to shore.
Yeah.
Then, the very end moment of the film, in a homage to previous efforts, it ends with her getting put in the back of an ambulance.
Yeah.
And the doctor that's checking her over and like checking for broken bones, he's got this kind of weird 80s like unexplained MacGuffin device that just scans her and tells her everything that's going on with her system. And he goes, "Miss Murderglam, did you know that you're pregnant?
Oh,
son of Jason!
My God, yes!
Credits roll.
Love it. That is great.
I want to see that film.
Oh, it's got a bit of romance. Is missed? Yeah, you don't get a lot of romance in this series.
Man, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I would watch that.
Thanks, Tom. I would like to hear your sequel idea.
Okay,
it wasn't that exact same thing, was it?
No,
that would be embarrassing.
That would be weird as well. So much like you, I'm not going reboot. I'm going deboot.
Deboot.
We're going back. Okay, so we're going Jason X versus Predator.
What? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So
how is that not a comic?
Exactly. Probably is that I haven't found. So in a bit of a riff on one of the plots I found in one of the books, the Jason X books, where there's some kind of Jason gets caught up in a prison riot. So basically what we've got like a prison moon off of Earth 2. And on this moon is where you keep the worst scum in the galaxy, and that's where they've also got cryogenically frozen Jason X is on there, but also they're bringing in a new prisoner that they've just caught it's a predator. I know you can't kill predators because they've got the thing on their arm. No, they've taken the arm off.
Oh, he's
in a
one
twist
arm.
Of phrase, he's had his arm with the beepy beepy. That's come off, and they've imprisoned him in there. And they're like, okay, so they're like, what is this thing? We've never caught one of them before. This is like a big thing. No one's ever caught a predator. He's a young predator. He's gone out on his first hunt, and he's fucked up.
Reckless.
Reckless. Reggie exactly. The reckless. And then power goes down. Like, it's one of those places, power can never go out. It's built to last, this place. No one can ever break out. It does. Because the other predators from the Predator clan have come to get that predator back, and they got to put him down. So they've shut it down. So then what ensues is a prison riot. So you've got, like, these scientists, marines, the worst scum in the galaxy, going crazy, but then also you've got this, one, or maybe, you know, you can have a few other predators trying to get this shamed predator that has been imprisoned, but also Jason gets out.
Uh-oh.
And so then you get this kind of, like, cat and mouse thing of, like, who's being hunted by who? Is it Jason X? Is it the Predator?
Can I ask a question?
Mm.
Metal face Jason?
It's going to be... I'm going with Jason X, although it could be normal Jason.
Oh, so when you say you're going with Jason X, you mean the metal face?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, like, it's all hell's breaking. So then you get, like, a ragtag band of, like, you know, like a scientist, like a criminal, like a marine or something like that. And they've all got to try and escape. And they band together with the shamed predator, because the predator knows what's going on. And, you know, the predator's got that ability to, like, do the sound bites that they record to talk.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah. So you've got all that going on. And, yeah, you just got this whole thing where you don't know who's hunting who. Now, here's the kick, because the predators, they see in heat vision. Jason, he's dead. They can't see him.
Yeah.
You get a big fight between the predator that's come in with Jason X. All hell breaks loose.
Oh, man.
Jason X gets his mask knocked off, kills the Predator. He puts on the Predator mask.
Oh, my God!
So you've got, like, Predator Jason.
Oh, my God!
With, like, the disc thing. And then at some point also, that mask will get knocked off and someone will say to Jason, "You're one ugly motherfucker." In a riff on the what
yes!
they say in the Predator films. So, yeah, there you
Mate,
go.
Mate, I want it.
And then...
Gimme.
You know, the finer points aren't all quite ironed out. But you get the gist. This is going to be pretty cool.
It sounds so good. Dude, that sounds amazing. Okay, well, I'm pleased with the work we did there. I wonder, because it's probably not long until the pizza's here now. So
I
wonder if we should talk about the next season, if we should drop the truth bomb.
Should we talk about the next season? Okay, so
before we say what it's going to be, a little bit of a thought about the rules, sort of how we're going to be choosing what franchises we cover and what we won't. So one real quick thing that we decided between us is we want there to be, for us to consider it like a franchise, we want there to be at least 4 films.
Yeah,
we're not going to do trilogies. It's too sort of quick and easy. Like, we need there to be.
Yeah,
it needs to feel like a bit of a challenge to actually do the whole thing.
Yeah, I think at the moment, I don't know, maybe down the line, but I think really now 4 films, that seems
4 films minimum.
Yeah.
Now another thing is we're not especially interested in just ragging on a bunch of bad films. So we would like there to be at least one of the films, at least, to be something that is generally considered to be
pretty good. Yeah,
doesn't matter if the others are massive pieces of shit, but one of them should at least be considered to be pretty good.
Yeah,
we also want them to be generally available to people, so that if any of you listening do want to watch along with us, you can. So we're going to try to steer clear, if possible, of out of print VHS only import titles.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. And then also, because franchises don't just mean films, it can mean TV and stuff like that, but we are just going to do films.
Yes.
So while we may do franchises that have TV series, we will not be wading through multiple seasons of like 22 episodes apiece.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're just talking films. So, that being said, season 2 is going to be... Highlander! Highlander!
Yes, we're going to do Highlander. If you don't know what Highlander is,
then bloody hell, you need to get on it. Because this franchise, I think, fits the criteria.
Pretty perfectly. Six films.
Yep.
The first film came out in the 80s, and I would describe it as an action fantasy.
With elements of sci-fi, I suppose.
With elements of sci-fi. It is about, if you don't know, it is about immortals.
Yep, they live forever.
They live, as immortals do, having sword fights and trying to chop their heads off.
Yep.
The other's heads
the
off.
The only thing that can kill an immortal, a Highlander, is another Highlander.
Mm.
And they can only kill them by chopping their head off. So, one of the Highlanders, a bad Highlander, he figures out, well, if I kill everybody else,
then I
really will be able to live forever. That's the premise.
That's the premise.
Ooh, it's good.
Now, why it is an interesting series to do. One of these films in the Highlander series is considered to be one of the worst sequels of all time. One of these sequels is an anime film. One of these sequels ties together the movie series and the quite substantial Highlander TV series that ran in the 90s for like 5 or 6 seasons.
And we're going to be watching this without having seen the TV series, and then we will be baffled.
And I think that the final one is a TV series spin-off movie made for the Sci-Fi Channel. So we are going from the top to the bottom by way of some very weird twists and turns.
Absolutely. I mean, the fall from grace for this intellectual property is going to be dramatic, because the first film, Sean Connery, its original soundtrack by Queen.
This was a big movie.
Yeah, to go from that to made for TV for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Also, it had about 5 or 6 seasons of a TV series that had its own spin-off that ran for 1 or 2 series. It had a cartoon series, it had video games, toys, comics, novelizations. It's a big thing. And the weird thing is, like, why this is such a big series, no one really talks about it in, like, pop culture. It's not like a pop culture reference so much these days. So that's kind of why we want to look at it.
Yep.
We've seen a couple of the films, the first two. And all I can say about these films, if you haven't seen these films and you want to watch along with us, watch the first two, definitely. Don't read anything about them.
Yeah.
Just go in blind and see how you feel, because it's going to be eye-popping.
Yeah, you are going to have a lovely time.
Mm.
Now, if you are worried because you listen to this podcast because you like horror, don't worry. We will be coming back to horror at some point. We're mixing it up.
Yeah.
And there are enough people getting their heads chopped off with swords in these films that you should absolutely be able to enjoy it still.
Yeah, totally. It's a weird, it's kind of a one of a kind. You know, like it's an odd one. So it's going to be a lot of fun diving into that. So yeah, and it's a bit more manageable. Like it's half the length.
Yeah, 6 films as opposed to 12. We had a great time on this journey, but like
that's a lot of films, man.
We've grown as people in the 12 movie watches. So
we're
going to do 6 this time. We might do something a bit longer next season.
Yeah, we'll see how the winds take us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we will see for that.
Yeah, we're going to take maybe a couple of weeks off before we start the next season.
But then we'll be back.
There might be a little cheeky bonus episode in the interim. You never know.
Yeah, so thanks so much, guys, for all the support. Can't thank you enough. We look forward to having you for... Highlander, yeah.
Pizza, sorry.
Pizza, sorry, guys. Yeah, we'll see you next time for some pizza and Highlander.
It's all right, man, I get it. I got some...
Have you got some got the cash?
I got some cash.
Okay, cool.
Pizza guy's not...
Huh? It's you! No! Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no! Oh, no!
Todd and Todd, new return for the bitter end, season 2, Highlander.